Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast, Controversial Corner.
Weighing in the controversial corner. No, just kidding.
So what are we going to cover today? Any big plans? Anything you want to cover?
I have a question for you.
Oh, that sounds serious. Yes.
Well, I was thinking about something.
Okay.
And I was thinking, what is one of the most difficult situations or circumstances that we face as Christians bringing the kingdom of God to earth? What's one of the biggest things you face? One of the biggest challenges? One of the biggest frustrations?
I suppose I don't have to think much about it, because I think any Christian who's been around a long time and has ministered to many people, you can ask this to any pastor, and they would tell you
I'm asking a pastor.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just telling you this. What I'm going to give, the answer I'm going to give is going to be pretty much the same as what other people say. When you're some kind of pastor or some kind of shepherd, then what happens is you pour yourself out on people. You are totally transparent. Because the only way you can really help people is being transparent. And when you become transparent, what happens?
You lay yourself bare and you share everything.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you become vulnerable, and what happens is when you share and you help people and you're transparent, what happens is sometimes people and you're dealing with a situation, you're helping them and you're giving your life experiences to help the person, then sometimes they'll use that in the future to hurt you. So sharing some things that you shared. But again, this is what you did and how you overcame it. They never showed how you overcame it. They just share the one side. The other side is also...
The other side or the other thing?
The other thing. So the one part is obviously people using and abusing the vulnerability. Two, they become very disrespectful. Like in the corporate world, a person will never speak to a man or woman of God like that.
But you somehow, mean a senior manager?
You will never do that. However, it seems like it gives people the right. If anything, you should have more respect. And especially if a man or woman of God say something, listen, take it in. Don't dismiss it very easily.
But it's worse than that, not just dismissing it, but then almost rubbing your nose in it.
Yes.
Obviously, we had something happen recently that leads us to both think about this, and I know it bothered you as much as it bothered me.
Well, because, and the reason why it bothered me, let's be clear. So it's you know, when you share something with someone, and you want them to be helped, and especially when someone's come and needs help
and begging desperately
for help, and you pray for them and you see them set free. Okay, so seen set free of a situation, and it wasn't the doctors. It wasn't anybody else. It was
the power of Yeshua
has helped them. And then they take what you say and they dismiss it with something else. You say, don't do this because this will impact this. And then they try and take that and they try rub your nose. In other words, if you say don't do that, what they'll do is they will do it. And then they'll flash it on their Facebook page. They'll flash it everywhere.
In public.
To rub it in your face. In other words, to show, I don't believe everything you believe. As if that is the objective of my ministry or any pastor's ministry. The objective really is to help and set the captives free. So for me, it's not about... For me, it's firstly, I think it's arrogant and disrespectful. Besides that, I also see them hurting themselves. And for me, that's the biggest thing. I'm seeing them hurt themselves. And they think they are being bravado.
To be blatantly honest, it's not that we expect everybody to take the advice that we give on every topic. That's not the point. Because no matter what we share, what we've learned, do we change some of our viewpoints at different times? We may, but we share what we believe the Lord has shared with us, And so if people choose not to take advice, that's their prerogative. That's their choice. It's not that we expect everybody all the time to take that advice and work
except if somebody is needing help and they're in a dire strait.
I think that's the difference.
They need to be helped.
If there's a desperate situation.
So for me, it's not the fact that, like I said, that they've taken... for me, the issue is the fact of the arrogance of, I want to rub it in your face, right? Oh, we don't have to keep the Sabbath, and I'm going to show you why not. Meantime, you don't even know the scriptures yourself. You're basically Googling and getting other people to do this. You're not harming me. You're harming yourself. Okay, that's one. But then, for me, the biggest one is, I love you. I don't want to see you get hurt, but it seems like you want to. And so the fact is, for me, I'm too scared to post anything on my page, because of the fear that it might offend you, offend the person. So I have to unfriend them. I don't want to unfriend them, but if I keep posting just normally being myself, they think it might be attacked towards them.
No, it sounds like this is a Facebook conversation, Facebook only.
Whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram.
No, but it's not a social media issue because you've had in-person conversations.
Yes.
It's not just your posts. It's face-to-face, one-on-one, full conversations explaining how the scripture backs things up. And in addition, a person in this family was desperately needing help and was set free.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Lord used us. But you know what? I do see this as a bit of a trend. It's a pattern. I can think of many people who've been in the depths of despair and who've called out in their desperation and said,
"Yes,
Andrea, Catherine, can you please pray for me? I don't know what to do. I'm at death's door. They're at death's door. They're on the brink of suicide. There's depression. There's
financial situations.
Like,
there are sicknesses.
I'm talking desperation. They've tried everything else. Been to doctors. Been to psychologists. Been to men of God. They've done everything, and they're at their wit's end. And they're like, I'm desperate. Please help. And we drop everything because we know, Lord, set the captives free. Only to witness so many of these people. Now, there are a lot who haven't, but there are many who go back and wallow in their mire.
And I want to make sure it's not, it's a few people.
It's not everybody. I'm just saying there's a pattern that we've witnessed.
But I think it's really what Yeshua makes a statement in the scriptures, and he says that the key of all parables is the sowing on the different soils. That's a key. He says to his disciples, if you don't understand that, how do you understand anything else? And if I'm honest and I look at the people's hearts, so you see the ones that are on the wayside, in other words, you throw it, please help, but they don't really want to hear. They just want another kind of
perspective. But should we not throw to them then?
Well, I think, why would you throw your seeds on hard ground?
Okay.
Sometimes evaluate. Don't be transparent or vulnerable in those situations. Then you get the ones that are thrown upon rocks. Now, that's a little bit tricky because you don't know that these people, so in other words, they receive it, this is a fantastic, they go and they share it with their parents or they share it with somebody, and then they get persecution from their parents or get persecution from a friend or persecution from a pastor, say, how can you do this? And when they feel that persecution, guess what happens? They shrivel up and they fall. But normally what they do is some of them just shrivel up and then they just walk away and they don't follow. But then you get the other type that, oh, now they turn and they want to bite you, right?
Exactly. It's I don't remember the seed part of that. Where was that?
Well, that's in Matthew. Where it talks about Matthew 7, where he says, don't cast your pearls before pigs.
Oh, yeah. What I was going to say in the parable.
Yes, that one. But you cast your pearls before pigs because,
Matthew 7, verse 6.
Because they're going to turn and then they're going to try and bite you. Not only are you sharing your pearls, but they were going to turn and bite you. In other words, when they say bite, they're disrespectful. They speak to other people, but they're trying to cause damage to you. And all you're doing is trying to share your pearls. Not thankful, not grateful. But for me, this is also a good thing for me. Because I look at myself and say, am I grateful to the Lord?
Yes, me too.
Right?
It made me look at that too.
Right? Because I sometimes think, we are not grateful enough to what the Lord has given us.
When I felt so disrespected because it was was the audacity of the action. And I know that our listeners don't know what we're talking about in a specific
really
sense.
That, I really didn't finish that point on the soils, right? On the
Yeah, because you were going to the Matthew part.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so go back, sorry.
So finish that. And just hold that thought. So with regards to the soils, I think we need to look at the soils when people come. And sometimes we get indications of that heart. In other words, the heart's very, very hard. Forget about it. In other words, this person is so steeped in their doctrine, no matter what you do, it ain't going to help them. Okay? Then you have the people that they have no root in themselves. They whatever they hear, they receive, but without challenging. So if someone doesn't challenge me and say, okay, where does it say that? Well, I don't believe that. Why does it say that? If they don't challenge and they just take it for face value, it shows that they don't really have root. And they're going to fizzle away very easily. Just a few persecutions and they're going to fizzle. Then you get the other ones that is on, they're more concerned about status. You know, if I did this, like for example, if I kept the Sabbath, I'm using that as an example. It's not the example. But, if I kept the Sabbath, that means it's going to impact my work. Because I'm a real estate guy and, or whatever, on a Saturday, how am I going to do that? And without understanding that, hey, there's compromise, instead of them looking for how can I keep the Sabbath, they look for ways of how not to. So they'll look up something to justify. They'll even hear angels speaking to them to justify their position or not. So I think looking at their hearts, if their heart's desire is finances or that's their heart's desire, then probably we need to don't share too much pulls. I think as believers, we are always called to help people, but we do need to evaluate. We need to, Paul says to Timothy, the young preacher, be careful on who you lay hands on. Do not lay hands on people hastily, right? And I think in my early Christian life, I was like that. I wanted to pray for people, see people set free. And I don't care if they bite me, and I just
do it. So you're saying you would not do it all again if knowing the reaction, the response now.
For some people, I think seeing them set free brought more damage on them. Because they got set free, they saw themselves to get set free, they listened to the stuff, and then what happened is they turned around and started to bite. And I think in the long term, the heart becomes harder. And so maybe just leave them suffering from autism. You know, the guy was saved of autism. Or let the person suffer from ADHD. Or let the person suffer from diabetes. Or let them, maybe they come to seek the Lord more versus being very quick. So sometimes I do think that we as believers need to evaluate, just like Paul said to Timothy, just wait. Don't be quick. So to answer your first question, I think we need to answer the first question. Now, first question was, what upsets is really the fact that we want to see people set free.
Bottom line.
And when they're hurt, when they're disrespectful, that's one thing. But when you see them getting hurt and you cannot help them.
Or hurting others through the same action.
Yeah, or they're trying to promote now
the very thing that's caused them pain in the first place.
They're promoting this evil behavior, whether it is playing with witchcraft or having witchcraft things, they are going to be causing damage to themselves and their family.
Essentially drinking from the cup of demons is really what it boils down to.
Yes.
Right? In whatever way, whatever that looks like.
Yep.
It really is returning to the vomit. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that for me is, you know, I definitely, after what happened, I definitely felt like, Lord, am I like this towards you? Do you give me good advice and I return back to doing what you've told me not to? If I have, Lord, please forgive me.
And the reality is we have. Right?
Of course.
So we need to repent.
I want the Lord to show me where I've done that. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I've repented of that.
So how will you know?
That's the question is because, you know,
fasting.
Oh, how will I know if I've done something wrong?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. I'm talking about with other people.
But that's my point. I think the people that we've also come across, these people don't necessarily fast. right?
Yeah,
they don't fast.
That is it.
They don't read. They don't read the Word of God, and they're not spending time. You don't even see them praying for an hour regularly.
Good point.
So if you're not doing that, I don't care if you've cast out demons. I don't really typically care if you've done something back. Everybody has a track record as a believer of what we've done. But the point is not about what we've done. It's about, are we in position right now to do what God tells us to do today?
Mm-hmm.
We can't go back on our credentials. It's not like the workforce where you go, oh, I did this one day. No. What are we doing today? That's how we measure it. Like, don't call me Lord unless you do the things that I say. Or Yeshua says to them, many will say to me in the day, Lord, Lord, and not enter the kingdom of God. Many will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, perform all these wonders in your name? And I'll profess to them, I do not know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now that is pretty scary.
That is.
Right? So don't think that you've got a thing on the block. Now, I do think we should have the signs. Don't you think we should have the signs?
Of course. I believe I do have the signs. I believe we should have the signs. And, you know, I sometimes wonder, did the Lord send those people to us even knowing that there was a potential that they might turn? Not turn against us. Because you know what? I don't really care. If people want to turn against us or speak against me, that's their choice. I'm not here to, you know, win friends and influence people to rack up points. But when I know that they are getting hurt by the actions that they are continuing to perform, I think to myself, perhaps the Lord knew that there would be a chance they would return to it. But yet he still offers mercy and grace and repentance. And you know, it's just very frustrating. It's very frustrating to witness people being set free only to claw themselves back into that prison because of stupid little things. Not even big things. Not even like, you know, little. It's the little things that make a difference when you know that it's demonic. That act is demonic. It's opening the doors. It's opening the doors again.
Yeah. And how many deliverances have we done? Now, in the scripture, is there such a thing as deliverance?
Well, it does not called as deliverance. It just says set the captives free, cast out demons.
And set the captives free, right?
Set the captives free.
And Yeshua says that the demon walks out or leaves when it's cast out and goes away and then comes back.
To see if the house is swept clean.
And in order. And then, notice, it doesn't just enter again because he says, hey, hang on. The person that cast me out previously was pretty easy to cast me out. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some more worse than me so that the house can be stronger and then we can stay there longer. All right?
Right.
So deliverance is really about keeping it clean, the house clean, and keeping them strong. Right? Keeping the house strong so that demons cannot enter. That's what we talk about deliverance. And how many times we've seen people set free or delivered from things, from depression, from suicide, from anxiety, from financial situations, from what do they call it? Whether it's also for healing. So we've seen these things, and I know that sometimes it's a journey too, because you know, if you deal with unforgiveness, you deal with the unforgiveness. But then you think about it again, and then you have to forgive
again.
And
the enemy likes to remind people, oh, yeah, Remember this person did this,
Yeah,
and
you have to continue.
You've got to walk in that forgiveness. You've got to walk in that forgiveness.
Yeah, and we could talk about that another day. But it's interesting today, this morning, what I was doing was I was going through all the diseases and the scriptural causes for those diseases. Right? So if a person has got this disease, the scripture says this happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, envy is rottenness to the bones. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if, for example, somebody is suffering from
osteoporosis,
maybe that's an area to look at, right? So I'm looking at the scripture, and there's a lot of them, by the way. There's quite a few. I think I've got about 15 or something like that. So going through the list of them, looking at the actual causes, And I was thinking, a lot of these are actually because of bitterness. A lot of them is because of self-focus. A lot of this is because of a lack of humility.
Pride, yeah.
Pride and I'm not forgiving that person because that person
did this to
this. And I'm thinking, what about us? You know, we should be forgiving people, right? So, but then I look at Yeshua, and I would say, out of my whole life, the biggest pain hasn't been from atheists,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. Even though they frustrated me and they said bad things and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
the biggest frustration or the pain that was caused has been because of Christians, but not just Christians, Christians that are close to us.
Yeah, very intimate relationship with close walking Christians, yeah.
So those Christians that are close to us, those are the Christians that, and that have walked with us many years, that have eaten in our house and spent years with
hours.
Us, they're the ones that turn around and they start bad-mouthing and being disrespectful, and you're thinking, how much have you, can you not, yes, life's not perfect, right? In other words, we all make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and seriously, the amount of benefit that you received versus the, I shouted at you kind of effort, surely count it. Do you understand in the early church, people used to get rebuked.
Publicly.
Publicly. Rebuked. People cannot handle a rebuke. So no matter if a demon's been cast out of a person, no matter if a person's been set free of demons, no matter if person is walking in freedom, like, but now they get offended because of a rebuke, but they didn't ever get offended with the rebuke when they were in the hole, when you were pulling them out of the hole.
When you were, yeah.
But when they're on the top and everything's going cushy, that's when they get offended. And you go realize, wow. Why do we continue wasting time? Sometimes I think it's about also reevaluating your friendships with the people that you're currently with and seeing is, maybe some of these folks don't invest too much time.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on other people, mm-hmm. because it's not like they're growing any more than they are growing.
Mm-hmm.
So just leave them where they are. Don't try. Just keep.
And you know what? I mean, it's not that you and I are perfect in our growth with the Lord.
But does it sound like we are?
No, well, it sounds like the stuff doesn't happen to us. But
I'm talking
about
as a leaders, as pastors.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
We're not talking about frustrations with ourselves.
Struggles,
are we?
No. But I mean, we struggle through things too, and sometimes, you know, the journey, like everybody's journey. I don't like that expression as much, but the journey for everybody is different, and maybe we're just there at certain points to help certain people in their journey. But you know, back to the original question: what is the biggest frustration in your walk as a Christian? What about you? Yeah. So if I had a look at what is my biggest frustration, you know, you could speak to many Christians and you would say, you could think, oh, the biggest frustration being a Christian is attacked by the enemy. But I'll tell you, it's not being attacked by the enemy is the biggest frustration, because I know where he's coming from. I know his motivation. I know what to expect from him. And I know how to deal with it. And do I do it perfectly every time? No, but I can see his tactics. I can see his strategy. I can see his weapons of warfare. They're very familiar. So, you know, one would think maybe that's the biggest frustration. Or maybe the biggest frustration is you know, facing sin in the world, or observing sin in the world and not being able to do that. And I would tell you that that is a big frustration for me, seeing the injustice that happens in the world and not being able to change it all. But I at least have the hope that I know Yeshua is coming back and vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And there's so many promises in Scripture where he will render the justice due to the wicked. So for me, the answer is exactly the same as you. My biggest frustration comes from Christians. The biggest hurt, the biggest disappointments. And I found myself this week...
Close Christians.
Christians, right? That I'm close to.
Yeah.
Okay, am I frustrated with Christians in the body?
Yeah.
Yes, that frustrates me. And that's a close second. But the biggest hurt and pain comes directly from those Christians who have been close to.
Because you're more vulnerable, because you share more, you're more intimate in terms of your heart, you're more vulnerable. So obviously it's going to be exposed, mm-hmm. right?
I've told you I pray 1 hour every week. I lead a prayer meeting 1 hour every week. There's 168 of us across Canada, and we pray every hour of the week is covered. And you know, I'll come onto the room, the virtual room, and I'll meet somebody, and there's an immediate connection. It's like, even I met a Catholic brother yesterday. And he says, I know I'm Catholic, you know, he says, can I pray for you? And I just like, okay, pray, because, you know, I'm leaving the room and he's coming on. And he just prayed for me as his sister. And I just thought, here I am, I have an immediate connection with this Catholic guy. You know, I know there's a lot of doctrinal issues, but he loves Jesus and he was praying to Jesus and he's praying. He has the same concerns I have. And I think that's amazing when you meet Christians, that immediate, beautiful connection one has. And then, you know, I always say the relationship becomes the good, the bad, and the ugly. And when you're exposed to the ugly, the question is, how are you going to deal with it? And I know, you know, some people will say, well, that seems to have happened to you a lot. And I was like, well, because we take the time to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Most people have superficial friendships where they don't get down to the nitty-gritty, where you're dealing with past traumas and past hurts and where the enemy wants to come in and attack and destroy. And so this week I found myself repetitively forgiving, cutting off ungodly soul ties, and playing the situation in my mind. And even after I had asked the Lord to forgive me for having unforgiveness, it came in my mind again. I'm like, the audacity of that action. Okay, Lord, sorry, I forgive them. And I had to just, you know, go over it, because I just think it's such a waste of time and energy.
Yeah, and I think also for you, there's more a sign of disrespect. And for me, it was a sign of, you know, the Bible talks about if you hurt one of the least of these, it's better that you take a millstone, put it around your neck, and jump in a river than actually you lead one of these astray. And what you're doing is you're leading these people astray. And I just listened, and I felt sorry. I did feel sorry for them.
For what? The people that were being
afterwards,
led astray?
Afterwards.
For me, it wasn't the disrespect.
It wasn't it?
No. I like, you know, I have come to that place. It's taken me a long time. And I'm still working on it, even with my children. I believe the Lord has given us a lot of wisdom. And I do believe one of the gifts of the Spirit I operate in is a gift of wisdom. And I don't share my wisdom unless I'm asked. I think I got to that place about 4 or 5 years ago, because I used to just freely share. Now I don't share unless I'm asked. And if you are going to ask, well, you're going to get what I really think. If you don't ask, I'm not going to tell you what I think. And I give advice based on what I hear Holy Spirit's telling me to the best of my ability. If you choose not to take my advice, the onus is not on me. The onus is on you. Now, there are moments where I feel the Lord says to me, Catherine, you have to say this. Okay, it's not advice. It's a word from Him. Mm-hmm. I have to speak it. That's very different. I'm not talking about those moments. I'm talking about when someone asks. So I don't care if you don't want to take the wisdom that I know is being given you in truth. But what I care about is the audacity of being desperate and asking for help, and you and I dropping things to help people, to set them free. Total healing comes. Total healing. Physical, emotional, spiritual healing comes. And then there's a turnaround, and it's like a slap in the face to say, I don't care what you said about me going back to having those issues. I don't care what the solution is. But let me tell you, if the doctor gave you antibiotics and said, take these antibiotics 3 times a day for 7 days, or don't touch this again, because don't take Tylenol again because it'll hurt your liver. Or if the doctor said, I don't want you to run ever again because you will hurt your knee, do you think that person would ever run again? Do you think they would take those antibiotics? Do you think they would stop taking Tylenol because the doctor said? Absolutely 100% yes. But when a man and woman of God tell you, don't put your hand in the fire because you're partaking of the cup of demons, and you go and do it blatantly, and you do it in front of me in a public place, You see, I'm getting angry again. I think I need to go and fix my heart.
Okay, so I think you need to. We need to ask for forgiveness.
No, but that is what that frustrates me. You can sense it in my.
Yeah,
in my,
but you know what?
That was what upset me, not the disrespect.
Which is basic, what you just said.
No, disrespect for me is like, well, I mean, okay, whatever. We don't have to define it. I mean,
potato.
Yeah, fine. Disrespect for me, it's the audacity.
Or the ungratefulness.
It's actually not even a slap in my face. It's a slap in God's face. Because you are insulting my Lord. Because He has given you this wisdom. It doesn't come from me. He's given you that wisdom. He's set you free. He's delivered you. He's given you the antidote.
Now you can imagine why Yeshua was so upset when these people were selling doves now in a temple, because they were supposed to, outside the temple area, like way in the distance, you can bring your oxen you buy and you sell, but not in the temple, because in the temple, the objective of the temple is it's a house of prayer for the nations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was for, just for people to come and pray, not just for the Jewish people, it's for the nations. But they made it only for the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. They made it only for now, obviously, even in the scriptures, it says there's only certain parts that you can come in. If you're a Gentile, you can't go to certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But they took it further. But then also they focusing more on money and causing a distraction. And so he got so frustrated with these people. Like, people are trying to pray, and now you're just distracting them.
So he just turned the tables.
He turned the tables.
Got his whip out.
He threw out things.
So should we have done that? Should we have got our whip out and turned the table?
No, because the thing is, the difference was that belonged to the temple. It actually,
so the
Yeshua.
Question is,
the temple belongs to Yeshua.
So okay? The question is, why did we not do or say anything when we observed this, the blatant disrespect?
And I think that's probably why maybe some part of the frustration happens, because you thought, maybe I should have responded better. Maybe instead of being keeping quiet, maybe I should have responded.
Mm.
Yeah. But at the same time, is then a question.
No, but
Even if I did respond,
would it make a difference?
Would it have made any difference?
Wallow in your mud.
So therefore, I did mention to you, watch the space. Because I just saw that there's going to be a consequence coming. And even if I said, hey, there's a consequence coming, because you can repent first, they're not going to listen. So forget about it. I already shared there will be a consequence. They did it. I'm saying, okay, Lord, they want to see the consequence. Mm-hmm. So you do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, you deal with them.
But why do we live in this culture? Or what is the cause of why this culture ignores the spiritual impact of actions? Here's an example. Is Taylor Swift. I know that she's gone on the demonic edge, and her concerts are hypnotic. And I've sent warning after warning to certain people, and they still love her, and they post about her, and they listen to her. Why?
Christians. Yeah.
Why is it that our culture is so ignorant of this blatant satanic stuff in our presence? Why?
Satan has blinded their minds.
But even after the last 4 years, where so much is exposed.
No, the thing is, what amazes me is people, when this COVID thing happened, people became more awake.
Yeah.
And now after this
and
COVID...
And more desperate,
yeah,
too.
Because now they were saying, what's going on? If their so-called friends that they had didn't meet with them.
Abandoned them.
And now everybody, their so-called friends are now meeting with them, and now they're dissing the other people, right? And when they were desperate, I think the world's going to end. Guess what? When people start to become desperate, and they start looking up, that's why you look at the Chinese church in China. The underground church is growing so fast. Why? Because they're desperate. It's not like here where you can go. Don't really get persecuted much. You can. You do, but it's a different type of persecution mm-hmm. than you get in these other places. Like, persons can lose their life in China.
Mm-hmm.
And impact the family significantly. So it's a big deal. And so when I look at this, what Satan is doing, I think as we as believers, we cannot say, oh, why the culture? Or why Christians? I want to just tell you straight, I don't believe every person that calls themselves a Christian is my brother or my sister. Some of our so-called friends, they all say we're friends, I don't think we are brothers and sisters. I want to say this, I don't think we are. I'll be surprised if they actually are. They'll make it in heaven one day. But it's up to God to decide that. The way they live and the way they speak doesn't have anything reflecting Christ. But yet they are Christian in name only. And that's why I believe what the Lord says, don't call me Lord unless you do the things that I say. And if you tell people that, they get angry with you. But yet at the same time, as you love them so much, how can you not tell them? So you tell them, they get angry with you. If you don't tell them, then God gets angry with you. So you call him, and so you guess what? You tell them, they're angry with you, and you go, okay, Lord, they're angry with me. Now, what are we going to do? So the thing is, I like what Joshua said, right, in 24 verse 15. He says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. In other words, we'll do it. I'll share it with you. I'm not going to enforce it. I'm not the law enforcing police, but I am going to share with you if I care. If I didn't care about you, I won't share. The fact that I have ever shared anything or anything regarding scripture with anybody that has means I have cared something about them. Whilst I would not have shared. I don't share with atheists. They need Christ. They don't need, it's like Christ.
They don't need the details of how
to. Yeah, and why. People are so arrogant when I tell them not to eat bloody meat. They're so arrogant. And they post things, oh, the doctor says this is not blood. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Do you know, and I'll bet you something that you've never casted out a demon in your life, ever. I bet you don't understand why in Acts 15 it says that by eating or blood, what happens to you? And he says it will be well with you if you don't eat it. In other words, it won't be well with you if you eat blood.
If you do eat it.
Why? Do people actually understand the why? No, they don't understand the why.
Apparently.
Nor do they want to understand the why.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us is we share. And if they don't, leave them. And then when they start promoting it, so when they start saying, no, to other Christians, and they lead other Christians astray by pushing it, leave it. Because Jezebel did the same thing. Jezebel was also in the church of prophetess. And the Lord gave her time to repent. Of what? Of idolatry, eating things sacrificed to idols. Oh, you can eat things that you're covered by the blood. Eat things sacrificed to idols. Eat things like halal. God will fix. Don't worry about it. And Yeshua says, you're teaching them that? I'm going to, and I've caused her to repent. But she did not repent. So he says, because you not repent, I'm going to kill her.
Was a sick bed first.
First, now put her in a sick bed.
Yeah.
And kill her children. Kill. Not playing. So when people say, worrying about Satan, don't worry about Satan. Worry about God. Nineveh, if Nineveh never repented, there would have been tickets.
Well, they were. People are going to say, what are tickets? They would have been done. Maybe even 150 years later, they were.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So, all that to say that it's important to heed the words of a man or woman of God if they are giving you wisdom, and if the Lord has set you free, seek Him.
But I also want to say something else. Like from our side, you know, we're talking about the One Direction. But also for us, we have to look at the people that have poured into our lives over the years, right? And we have looked at them. There have been a handful of people, either in person.
Yes.
Right? Remember the first people, Johan and
Penny.
Remember, I'll never forget them. No, how they took us under the wing and we were like new Christians. They took
living
us
from, together.
Living, took us and for dinner. They spoke to us. They shared the word of God. You know what? Anybody says anything about them, I don't care if they say, I'm going to say no, I'm going to defend them because of what they did. Same with people like Benny Hinn, right? I know it's controversial. Benny Hinn, the message that he shared, Reinhard Bonnke,
Kenneth
Copeland, okay? Oh, look at this one thing. He cut himself and he didn't read the context. Watch the whole thing. And also, not everything, all these pastors say may be spot on. Okay, have you said anything that hasn't been spot on? No. Okay, neither have I.
But has 95% of what they said?
Spot on, yes. And has had a significant impact on in terms of deliverance. So I don't diss them very easily or receive an accusation. And this happened this week where someone spoke against Kenneth Copeland as an example and said, oh, look at one of the films that
How
he has.
How can you listen to him?
Look at, because he was talking about that he drinking his own blood and people's blood.
He's cutting his hand.
So I said, oh, really? I know Kenneth Copeland from all the years that I've listened to him. I don't think he would have done that. But you know what? And then
Let
I go online.
Let me see for myself.
Let me see for myself. So firstly, I go and I look at all these people that have
spoken against him.
So I watched one of the clips of this person that speaks against him. And then I said, okay. And obviously what they do is they edit out the context. Right?
The beginning of the conversation and the end part.
And then they had this thing. And millions of people saying, thank you, brother, for sharing the light and all this kind of stuff. And then I look at this person's page themselves. I'm thinking, this person doesn't believe in the power of God. Doesn't believe in the signs of God. This person is not spending time fasting and in the Word. This person is not is dissing men of God that have doing many people, helping many people, bringing many souls. You'll know them by their fruit. This person is bringing nothing. And their channel is called Exposing False. Do you think Yeshua's thing was exposing false? Satan's job is to expose. That's what deception is. Fake news or...
Did God really say?
Yeah. What about the fake news now? Disinformation. Isn't that in itself supposedly a fact-checking? So when someone says that, automatically fact-checking... You can tell me about the error. That's your job.
What do you call it? The radar goes up, and you.
And I look at this guy, and another guy sent me another one article previously, and I looked at this website. This guy believes that there's a universal God. Doesn't even believe in Christ.
In Jesus. So why are you going to listen to him criticizing men of God?
Exactly. And so I have to go back and look at it. And see what is, and then yes, I'm thinking there was a part on that video thing. You know what? Maybe shouldn't have done that.
Pushed a little too far.
Yeah,
whatever.
I didn't think that was a good. I don't think it was a good illustration. They could have done a different illustration. But I have used bad illustrations too.
And you understand his point.
And I'm not on camera all the time either. Okay. But I understand the context that he's talking about. He's basically saying when we drink the blood of Yeshua in communion. His blood mingles with your blood
that
and
you
impacts
can't
you.
See yours because it's you can't separate. You are not separate. Can't be separate.
You're one with him.
Right.
Yeah.
But now the point is that initially asked the question a little earlier. You said, well, deliverance is not in scripture and we didn't really deal with that. Do we want to deal with that today or do
that as a separate
next time topic?
I do think we can talk about another time.
Okay. So let's put that down for next time.
Is actually talk about deliverance. Not actually talk about it, but let's actually do a deliverance. As if someone wanted deliverance, like self-deliverance,
to listen to this.
They can listen to it and then they can stop the tape and go through it themselves.
Stop the tape, eh?
Or the whatever.
Which generation are you?
Yeah.
Stop the tape. Do they need to cut it with a pencil and put tape on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's a good idea. So they'll have to listen to 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do it.
Okay. So, do you want to close in prayer? Me? Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. And I do pray for all the people that have imparted into our lives. And I thank you that we have always been respectful towards them and defended them. And I do pray for a blessing on them. And I'm really grateful for what they have done and shared in our lives. And Lord, those that have hurt us, nothing comes to mind. But I know this example that we shared about today, Lord, they're in your hands. We've shared. So just like Paul handed them over to Satan. Now I'm not handing them over to Satan because they don't belong to me, my Lord. But they're your people. You speak to them and you direct them. I thank you for your mercy. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.